This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, BFM 89.9. I'm Koo Soo-chong and I'm joined by Wong Xiaoning. We've got in the studio with us Jabba Sadiq, the chief executive and editor of the news portal, The Malaysian Insight. Welcome to the grill, Jabba. Now, obviously, you've had a bird's eye and a close-up view of what's been happening the last few days. Wrap it up for us and talk to us about the next 10 days, because the next key date in the Malaysian business and government calendar is the 9th of March, right? When Parliament reconvenes, after which on the 10th, the King gives his address to the country. So what happens between now and then? What's been happening since the last few days?
Well, as of today, we just have an interim Prime Minister. We have no cabinet. So today, the King is scheduled to meet MPs and poll them as to who will form the next government, if possible. And meanwhile, the business of government continues. And the parliament session really is the first formal government business in the next 2 weeks. And that's when we will see an alignment of people, of lawmakers in the chamber, right? I just want to correct you. The King's address is on the 9th. First formal business of parliament starts on the 10th when they debate the King's address, right? So between now and then, you will see a flurry of meetings, of people hammering out deals, alliances to form the next government, be it the one alliance under the Azmin Muhyiddin group, or on the other side, Anwar Mat Sabu and Lim Guan Eng group. Essentially, those are the two groups racing to be the next government and potentially prime minister.
And if we just rewind a little bit, right, and we look at what happened on Sunday, did the events surprise you? Or did you kind of expect that all this would be rolled out?
I think it was surprising because the meeting sort of snowballed into something else nobody could imagine. The meetings were basically a show of power to Anwar Ibrahim, that to bide his time and not to rush this transition process. His people have been putting pressure that it should be done earlier in May, 2 years after the last elections, rather than after APEC. And I think some parties want to flex their muscles and say, why don't you just hang on a bit? Otherwise, we will pull out. And again, coincidentally, in a year when Malaysia hosts APEC, you're so close to power, but you won't get it.
Doesn't it seem a bit odd? Because it does seem odd to the rest of us among Joe Public that the political elites chose to have this congregation at a time when the world is facing a whole bunch of problems, as exemplified by the COVID-19 virus, the slowdown, the trade talks, the US-China trade impasse, things like that. Were they not aware that they would have caused political fissures at a time when the Malaysian people needs them the most to be the most stable?
Well, I think Malaysian politicians, like any politicians around the world, think they're the center of the universe and the world revolves around them and nothing else matters. And that's what basically happened. It was meant to spook people, but in the end, everybody got snooked. And now you've got the man who quit as prime minister is still the prime minister and everybody else has lost their jobs.
So the events kind of just went out of control in a way, would you say?
Yes, I'd say it went out of control. A bit like the coronavirus, you think you can control it and then suddenly it's all over the place. So same, whatever happened on Sunday, just got too much of a mess and nobody's in control of the situation right now.
So what is the direction forward? Because the biggest block now within the coalition is DAP, right? They've got 39 seats, 92 in total, 20 short of the simple majority. And as you say, the Azmin Muhyiddin group, as it stands, we don't really know the big numbers, right? What is your sense of how the numbers will kind of like filter to either side?
I don't think anybody has an idea what's going on. That the MPs themselves now have to consider if they had signed strategy declarations, it doesn't stand anywhere anyway. Where would they want to be on any side of history, right? Do they want to be seen to be working with lawmakers who are facing multiple charges in courts. The cases are still going on. I mean, as we speak, Dato Sri Najib Razak is in court waiting for his SRC trial to continue, right?
What is the potential for these charges to be dropped if the alternative coalition comes to power?
Well, they'll have to sack the Attorney General first and drop the charges, right? That's the sequence of things. We've got this next 2 weeks to look at all these permutations and put conjecture and speculate whether this is going to happen and is this the way forward. And at the end of it, all these guys live in fear of a general election, right? They just want to continue the mandate that was given in the last election and then try to work out a strategy to keep power after the next election or at the next election.
So from the sounds of this, the last thing they want is a snap election then, right? But how can they, what is the best way forward?
The best way forward is actually a snap election, right? For people to consider. And a lot of people are saying we might not like the results that we get because the last general election was sort of an aberration. A lot of people did not go out to vote for Barisan and therefore Barisan lost. They would go out this time. But, you know, do you want to leave it to a bunch of guys at a dinner to decide your government? You might want to consider the wisdom of the king and the conference of rulers. But ultimately, power for this government comes from the people. So if they don't want to have elections this year, if the excuse is let's host APEC, at the rate things are going, I think APEC is something you don't even consider. You consider the needs of your country first. You would have to have it anytime soon anyway, at least within the next calendar year, because all alliances now are so shaky that they could fall anytime. You know, just have a dinner, call 10 people, and the government could fall, you know. So and that's at the rate, I mean, it's the night of steak knives rather than long knives, really, if you think about it.
Is there any event in Malaysian history which can be used as a precedent? I mean, Semangat 46 comes to mind initially.
So any event in Malaysian history, there have been a few, actually, but this happened at state level. In 85 in Sabah, when the two competing parties wanted to form the government. Happened again in 2018 when two competing parties wanted to form the government in Sabah. It happened in Perak, 2009, somewhat when some people defected across the floor. But it always happened at the state level, so you always had the federal government coming in. Again, if you remember, and it's before our time, Chuang, all of us in this room, 61 Terengganu, and then, if I'm not mistaken, it happened in Sarawak in 65. So we've had events where at state level, you at least had this kind of disputes. But now it's happening at the federal level. So who's above the cabinet? Only the king and the conference of rulers. So what are they going to do? I don't know.
What's your sense of the things that he'll take into consideration in terms of what to do next?
I think the example of Perak is in recent history is the best. The fact that the king will have to poll MPs and decide which coalition, which grouping, which bloc has the majority in parliament and who among those in that bloc have the confidence to be the prime minister.
And since you brought up MPs, right, let's talk about the party politics, right? Let's start with Bersatu. I mean, was it a surprise that they left the coalition?
It was actually, because you think about it, we've always been under the assumption that the Prime Minister, and now interim Prime Minister, was always in control of the party.
Yes, very much so.
But what happened yesterday was the party president, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, issued a statement saying they have left the coalition ahead of any meeting. And subsequently, you get the Prime Minister saying, interim Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, to be easy, saying he's quit as Bersatu chairman.
Yeah, does that kind of mean that there is definitely a split between Bersatu itself?
I think there is a split within Bersatu between Dr. Mahathir and Tan Sri Muhyiddin's side of the party that has led to the fact that Muhyiddin decided to cast his lot with Azmin rather than stick to the coalition. And, I mean, if you look at a historical perspective, it's not the first time Tan Sri Muhyiddin has done this. In 2009, he sort of sided with Dato Sri Najib to the point that they put pressure on Tun Abdullah, as he's known now, to leave the party presidency, and so for Dato' Sri Najib to become UMNO president and prime minister. So, yeah.
And do you see defections coming up, Bersatu? After all, Tun M's son is deputy president also, right?
I think you will see a few people leaving, or maybe there will be a tussle. I don't know which side will leave first, but Tan Sri Muhyiddin is in charge of the party. He is party president. They're going through their party elections now at the division level. So I mean, the reality is party politics has had a bearing in the country's politics, right? The split in PKR, the bad political fight between Azmin Scam and Anwar Scam has come down to this. So, yeah, so that's where it is.
So the 26 seats that Bersatu currently holds is not definitely, I mean, there's no certainty that they will move all 26 MPs to the new coalition then?
No, not at all.
We've got in the studio with us Jabar Sadiq, the editor-in-chief executive of the news portal, The Malaysian Insights. And we will be taking this discussion into the next half an hour. We'll be also joined by Karim Razlan. He's the founder of the KRA Group, which is a political consultancy. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, we have been talking to Jabar Sadiq, the chief executive and editor of the news portal Malaysian Insight. We've all been trying to get a sense of what's been happening on the Malaysian political landscape. And now we have Karim Razlan, the founder of the KRA Group, which is a political consultancy in the region, also joining us, albeit by telephone. Karim, thank you for joining us again on the show. Now, obviously, it's been a few hours since we last spoke. What's been happening in your neck of the woods in terms of how the region has viewed the political landscape in Malaysia?
Well, I'm in a very, very wet, rainy Jakarta. I think everyone's a little confused. But I assured all my friends in Jakarta, I think Dr. Mahathir will be prime minister by the end of the day. And then, oh wow, lo and behold, he became prime minister interim at the end of the day. So, yeah, you know, I think let's relax, let's take a chill pill. Let's not get overexcited. Hey, Jabar, haven't we all seen this before?
Not quite. I'm not as old as you.
Sorry. I was going to say something rude then, but...
But, I mean, what's next, Karim? I mean, because we can't have this interim prime ministership for, like, eternity either, right? We need to move on.
Yeah, but, you know, we haven't moved on from Dr. Mahathir for 50 years. So what's the rush, yeah? He has dominated our politics since the 60s. He has set the agenda. I mean, he has toppled prime ministers sitting, Tunku Abdul Rahman. He was involved in Abdullah Badawi's departure, Najib's departure. So he sets our agenda. We just have to sit back and, you know, go in for the ride. Just before I switched on to you guys, I watched again Dr. Mahathir's very emotional leave-taking at the UMNO General Assembly 2002. I don't know, maybe Jabar, you remember that.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay. Yeah. And that was very emotional. And there's an element of that which I'm reminded of now. So he the agenda. And the problem with this is that it turns up.
Sorry, I think the line just died. We'll come back to him in a moment. But you heard what Karim had to say.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that he mentioned 2002, and we have a piece up about the first time that when Dr. Mahathir announced he was quitting, and it was very emotional.
Met with tears by the crowd.
Yeah, and tears.
Rafida
came up to him.
Yeah, she broke her heel, I remember that.
That's right. She broke her heel, and, you know, and then you realise that everybody was speaking in English at a Malay party conference, and that's how the elites are. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? That at a time of coronavirus, in the time of cholera, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
You have all the elites. Americans. Yeah, you know, you have elites doing what they do in their own silos and entitled world. Maybe Karim's right. We should take a chill pill. But in a country where the economy is sliding, virus, trade war and all that, you cannot just rely on a 94-year-old man to run the country alone with civil service that will all have to report to him.
Well, the discussion very much has been one which is centered around what the elites themselves are doing. Very little heed, other than the social media that we've been getting, is reflective of the grassroots. And this isn't even the real grassroots, Jabba. This is urban KLites venting, yeah? What is your sense of the grassroots? And I'm talking about grassroots, not just in the peninsula, but also on East Malaysia.
Well, I think if we try to do a street poll of people, we've got people in Penang and Sabah and Sarawak and around peninsula. Generally, I think the barometer is 9 out of 10 people are a bit pissed off, right? People are trying to eke out a living, right? In a country where the ringgit is
4.22.
Exactly, right? It was 4.406 a few weeks ago. And you know, you want to up exports. You are encouraging people to take more palm oil in their diesel than ever. You're doing all kinds of things, right? And suddenly you all decide to go on a frolic, have a dinner and say, look, you know, we don't like our colleagues in cabinet. We don't want Anwar Ibrahim to be our prime minister, right? And, I mean, that's really the elephant in the room. It's not so much as you want Dr. Mahathir to be continue as prime minister. You don't want Anwar Ibrahim to be prime minister. And that's, again, a game of thrones among elites, right? So people are saying, so what's going on? You know, what about us? What about the people of Malaysia? I think in certain rural constituencies, they probably look at it as an opportunity that their lawmaker would be in government this time. Could be from PAS, from UMNO, I don't know. But that's how some people will look at it. But others will say, fine, I did an editorial. So what if a new government comes in? Will we have a deluge of Saudi money? Will we have units unfrozen? I have no idea. But, you know, what's the difference?
Is there a large enough segment of the population, Jabba, in your opinion, that might side with a new coalition that is perhaps more based along Malay Bumiputra lines as opposed to the more multicultural, multinational, even Pakatan Harapan?
I think there is. I mean, the reality is this country is 60% Bumiputra. And they have been spooked to think that anything else would mean the end of their culture, the restriction of their faith. You know, I mean, you've seen the anti-ISIS movement and all that. You will have race and religion always dominating the debate in this country because the narrative from the politicians is always based on that.
And Jabba, you said that civil society is annoyed, right? They're just not happy. And we also get it on our Twitter feed, our social media, but it's very urban, admittedly. But what options do we have? I mean, other than just accept what has been happening?
I think I from the 2008-2013 elections, I've always said that civil society has always confined itself to statements and that's operating out of the Klang Valley. I think they need to do the outreach to the rural folks and explain that this country is just beyond bread and butter, race and religion issues. There are higher causes. There are deeply philosophical and policies that you have to consider, right?
To get constructive about this, Jabba, do you think that this unforeseen turn of developments has... whether there's a silver lining in the cloud, whether this gives either coalition a chance or an opportunity to rethink its the way it looks at politics in this country and the way it manages the country going forward. Because as we know, the last 18 months hasn't been optimal for Pakatan either. They've made a number of missteps along the way. And there are some lessons to be learned from that.
I don't think politicians can learn any lessons. They like to give lessons and lecture people. I don't think they will learn anything from this at all.
Well, that's not a positive viewpoint, That can't be good, though.
That can't be good, but I mean that's a reality. I mean, you speak to a politician, you listen to him, right? Do you think they learn anything from the past or from what happened in the UK over Brexit, the alliances that were shifting, and all that? No, I don't think they've learned from that.
You know, when we talked to Karim yesterday, he was lamenting the age of both potential leader and leader-in-waiting. One is in his 70s, one is in his 90s. And Karim said, let's have some youth and new blood in the picture. Now, let's poke some fingers in the sand here, Jayapal. Which of the young leaders do you think are suitable to step up to the plate in this time of flux?
Well, I think the only name that comes to mind is Khairi Jamaluddin, right?
He's been very quiet.
He has been very quiet, but he was at the dinner. So I think he is intelligent. He knows how to pull together people from various groups, various demographics to do something. But, you know, he's probably the only hope that this country has at this point in time for the simple reason he appears to be the man who can do it.
And he comes from UMNO, but anyone else from Pakatan Harapan? Any youth leader there you see rising?
You know, I like to think there are people in Pakatan who can do this, but, you know, they might be the wrong shade of brown or yellow. So, you know, I don't know. You know, if there's anybody outstanding in Pakatan, it'll be someone like actually Anthony Loke, right? Or Dr. Zul, for that matter.
Okay, we've got Karim back on the line, albeit it's raining heavily in Jakarta. Karim, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Brilliant.
Nurul.
Yeah, Nurul. Nurul Lisa.
Yeah, of course, Nurul. But, you know, she doesn't seem to be interested.
Nick Nazmi. Sorry, there are lots of young men and women in Pakatan who seem very interesting, yeah? I mean, Anthony is fine. I don't think Anthony is the solution to everything. Anthony Loke. Doc Zul has done an amazing job. I think Hannah Yeo, I have been extremely impressed by. In fact, I think I'm almost the most impressed by her. She is the most steely of politicians and incredibly delivery focused. But the most important thing I want to say today is, you know, democracy is a means to an end, everybody. It's not the end in itself. So I come back to what Jahaba is saying is, you know, the guys on the street are going, hey, what the hell are you doing? Can't you do more about, I need a job, I need my salary to go up, I want transport costs to come down, inflation to come down. So I think Jahaba is totally right. It's all about delivery to the ordinary guy on the street. And I... So, you know, a lot of the KL talk among kind of activists and everything, waste of time. You've got to make sure that people's lives are demonstrably enhanced and that people kind of feel a sense of hope, future, direction. And to be fair, you know, I'm always a bit sarcastic about Dr. M, but, you know, that's been his brilliance. He's always presented a dream of where the country's going, yeah? I mean, he's been the one who's been doing it for 50 years, so I suppose he's used to it. But that's what we've got to get back to, a direction, a sense that we're going somewhere and that people's lives can be enhanced. And that's not what's been done. But I would say there are a lot of young, bright names in Pakatan. I think, Nurul, if you're listening, where are you? Can you get back in the frame, please, young lady? You are wasted wherever you are. You should be right in the centre of the political debate. That's my point for the day.
Karim, let's try and get constructive about the way forward, yeah? How would you suggest, if you were even asked to suggest, right, how would you suggest a redrawing of the cabinet minister lineup?
Nurul, get back in cabinet. I think, thank you, Datin Sriwan Aziza. We really value your service. You have done a very good job past 18 months. Time to step aside. I think Anwar Ibrahim should be in cabinet. I think Nurul should be in cabinet. I would like to see Nurul. She was very involved in TVET. She should be back in education in one form or another. I would like to see Fahmi doing stuff, maybe even Rafizi. He's always kind of held out this potential as such a bright young man. Okay, young man, this is your chance. Tell us what you would do for finance, you know? That kind of thing. You know, give the guys a chance.
Jabba Sadiq and Karim Razlan have been talking with us on The Grill this morning. We're going to be coming back after the news with more political analysis. So stay tuned. Don't go away. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Xiaoning, and in the studio with us is Jabbar Sadiq of the Malaysian Insight. On the line with us is Karim Razlan of the KRA Group, the regional political consultancy. Karim, last we left it, you talked about, and you gave us some names of candidates that you thought might be new blood to fill the cabinet lineup. Intrinsically and theoretically and conceptually as well, do you think these people have the qualities to not only do a good job within the technocracy, but also to get the grassroots support within the entire country?
Hey, hang on, yeah? There's a guy called Qatapi Mohamed Din, who was the tourism minister. He is now no longer tourism minister, okay? No one is as bad as Mohamed Qatapi, okay? Please, all these people are a million times better. So there have been some members of this cabinet whose level of competence and capability are so shocking. You know, so how can you say Nurul, Fahmi, Nazmi, even like Rafizi were worse than this guy? No way. Okay.
But can so do you think they can? Do you think they can get widespread support, Karim?
Give them a chance. You know, that's what I would say. Just throw them out there. We've got to give people a chance. Get people out there. There are lots of interesting guys. There's that guy down in Johor Bahru. I mean, I like Syed Saddiq. He can do well. I'm also, you know, there's this view now that everybody who, you know, was involved in this, maybe I've become so old I'm a bit forgiving. But my view is, let's calm down. Let's relax. The past 48 hours was a kind of major kind of emotional storm. If we go around and say everybody is kind of needs to be taken out and shot who was involved in that, then... I'm irritated.
I think you're right there. I think maybe the current interim prime minister will pencil down some of the names. And maybe you're right. Maybe the slate of fresh faces would be good for the country before we have a general election and decide our own government again.
But it was a slate of fresh faces, gentlemen, that saw several missteps being taken. I mean, Mazli Malik was a fledgling minister. Gobind Singh, you'll be in. I mean, some of these names continue. Ong Kian Ming as well. That also was partly the reason why they didn't gain as much purchase among the grassroots, which then enabled Azmin and Mohidin to come out and obviously potentially get some more support within the rural heartland. Do you think there would be a repetition of past mistake?
Yeah, we're talking in a bubble here, you know, and we're speaking in English. I'm a classic member of the bunker bubble. Okay, I'm guilty. But the reality is, as Jahabar said, 60-65% of the population is Malay, is Muslim, is increasingly conservative. They have to be brought into the debate. Everything has to be far, far more inclusive. The way the political discourse is at its core very racist, you don't change these things in 18 months. It takes years. And to be frank, Dr. Mahathir and Anwar Ibrahim were complicit in the increasing conservatism of the past 30, 40 years. So, you know, they have to be involved in unwinding as well. And to my mind, the names I just mentioned, a lot of these younger Malay names in PKR. Also, there's that very lovely, bright young Adun they call her Rara in Pahang. You know, there are lots of very nice young... We need more Malay names out there, frankly, because I'm not questioning the competence of a lot of the Chinese names in the cabinet. I want to see more capable young Malay Muslim figures in cabinet, and they are there. Just get them up there. Let's shift aside a lot of those in their 50s and 60s.
Okay, gentlemen, I mean, we have to go back to the core of the issue. I think one of which is this so-called coalition government, because it's all down to numbers, right? Who can form the government as quick as possible? So why don't we start with you, Jahabar? What do you think it will look like?
I think the reality is, looking at how Dr. Mahathir has performed the last few days, he would want a bunch of people he could trust for his caretaker government. And, you know, he's due to actually announce a stimulus package on Thursday. Obviously, it might happen still. Minister Lim Guan Eng was drafting it with his deputies and everybody else. So I think that he would work with the team that he's been working with for the last 21 months at this point in time. But bear in mind, it is a caretaker government, right? And this government is, by limit, depends on whether anyone else can form a government in the next, whether by today or by next week or by end of next month. You know, as mentioned earlier by Chuang, the immediate government business of the day is parliament. So I think within the next 2 weeks, we will be very clear whether we have a new government from either side, or Dr. Mahathir will pick a core group of ministers he has been comfortable working with in the last few months to run the cabinet and the country. I mean, I think that's the reality and the immediate reality they have to deal with.
But if we look at the seats, right, how the seats kind of present themselves, there's 222 we know in Dewan Rakyat. What do the numbers look like for, let's say, Pakatan Harapan in one camp and then the other camp? You know?
Okay, I think Pakatan Harapan has what, about, without, over with Warisan has thrown a lot with them, about 100, 102. And the remainder with the Muhyiddin Azmin camp, or having a look-see and not deciding for themselves. And I think that includes Sarawak and a few MPs in Bersatu itself who might not want to be part of this, right? You know, yesterday one senior government guy said the situation is very fluid. Nobody knows what's going on. So today, the king is polling MPs at 11 o'clock. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture by end of the day. But even as we speak, a fair number of people, MPs, are going to Dr. Mahathir's private residence, I don't know, to discuss and convince him that they can be part of it or that he should be part of them. There's one reality I think I just want to say, that everyone expected Dr. Mahathir to switch to their side. Right? But this is Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. You know, you switch to his side. He never switches. You know, like Margaret Thatcher once said, this lady is not for turning. Well, this tune is not for turning too.
Yeah. Well, what about the East Malaysian equation then? Because, I mean, there's a lot of assumptions here, but be that as it may, you've got that 18 from Sarawak with GPS, and there's another 10 more from East, from Sabah. So what considerations would be uppermost in their minds, both gentlemen?
Oil and gas, revenues.
Yeah, I think they want more of the rights under the MA63. That's one for sure. Two, I think they want an assurance from peninsular parties that no interference in their local politics, no contesting in the state elections. Let them run it their way. And I think then you have what you call a healthy alliance at the federal level. I think that's seriously what Sabah and Sarawak political parties want. I don't know what the people of Sarawak and Sabah want, but definitely the politicians don't want anyone from Peninsula coming over to their side.
Well, given the state of flux in the country at this point in time, is there a blue sky scenario here? And I mean, you know, heaven forbid, what is the grey sky scenario, the worst case? Karim?
Okay, I think I come back to that 2002, a very emotional declaration by Dr. M that he was giving up the premiership. Dr. M is the great manipulator. Basically, even though Bersatu is no longer in Pakatan Harapan, they have pledged their loyalty. I bet you Azmin's renegades will pledge their loyalty. So at the end of the day, he will have the majority in parliament, whatever. No one is going to go against him. So what we've got is an interim prime minister and government, which will most likely have the cross-party support. So he has emerged out of this ever stronger. And maybe this is what we need now, given coronavirus, the economic downturn, is some kind of government of national unity. Dr. Mahathir is the symbol of national unity, you know, with the exception of Najib, kind of isolated. That's just what it is. You know, he will run the country his way. And so be it. Maybe we need it like that. Whether or not we'll see Anwar following on, I really don't know. That is something that, you know, we come back to the rivalry between these two men. I would love to see Anwar Ibrahim in cabinet as well. Bring him in, just get him to do things, get that daughter in, get a lot of the younger Pakatan fellows in. I do think this is important, but at the end of the day, the Dr. Mahathir in his 90s is going to run everything.
What do you think, Jahaba?
Wow, you know, it's that meme, right, that every ministry has Dr. Mahathir as a minister. That's going around now, that's becoming true. I think to a certain extent, Karim is right. You need probably a cross-party unity government of cabinet of sorts under Dr. Mahathir. But I just don't think it's tenable, right? I mean, what happened over the weekend precipitated what happened yesterday, because no way this entire group of Pakatan Harapan ministers would be able to sit together in a cabinet meeting tomorrow, right? So, would all of them would pledge their allegiance to Dr. Mahathir, for sure. But would they be able to sit together and work together for the country? I don't think so.
Well, 2020...
It is all about the country. That is where these guys have got to get it into their head. I'm sick and tired of them. It's all about me, my ambition. It is about our country. They are screwing it up. I mean, I'm so tired of Dr. Mahathir, but he's got it right. Just get all the... They're like vegetables, the rest of the cabinet. They have got to get in line now, you know? I'm sick and tired of their ambition. Forget about it. It's about looking after us, guys in the street, making sure the income is better. They get more EPF.
That's true. That's true, Karim. Yeah, that's economy is the one that matters.
I mean, he's got to thwack him around the face. I don't want any more complaints from Lim Guan Eng, Tansri Mahyudin, Azmin Ali. They've all been so badly behaved. Stop it now.
So just here we are in 2020, and Tun Mahathir turns 95. Obviously, he can't stick around forever. Let's cast our eyes forward to PM number 8. PM number 8, what's your bet?
I don't know. You know, at one point in time, I actually thought that Anwar Ibrahim would make it. But, you know, as I said earlier, whenever there's an APEC, he just doesn't make it.
So you don't think that he has any
chance? I think he still has a chance. He still has a running chance. Obviously, it won't be Najib Razak. It won't be Zahid Hamidi. I don't think it'll be Hishamuddin Hussein. I think the race right now is between two ex-deputy prime ministers, Muhyiddin Yassin and Anwar Ibrahim. And with that is you have one that's multiracial, one that is might appear to be more community-centric, Malay-centric. But in all this equation, I think we forget the major component of Sabah and Sarawak must be in there. And I think unless they can convince the Sabahans and Sarawakians to be part of them, we will not have a government representative of the people working for the people, but as Karim said, working for themselves.
Is there a proposition for the first time ever an East Malaysian Prime Minister?
Well, you know, some names have been suggested. I think the Sabah Chief Minister, Shafiq Abdal, is pretty good for this job if he wants it. But I think he's a lot more comfortable in Sabah.
But I think Jahaba's put the hit and nail on their head. Key thing is, you know, get Anwar back in cabinet, get him in there, put him to work. Tansri Mahyudin, also likewise. I mean, you know, Dr. Mahathir and him have got to have a serious discussion about things. Mahyudin knows what he's doing. Put him to work as well. Shafi Eshi is quite capable, but a lack of ambition and a lack of vision at a national level. He's done a pretty interesting job in Sabah. He's got a kind of vision there. So I think he will want to stay there.
But gentlemen, I want to bring it back to Malaysia. I mean, we are a relatively young democracy.
Sorry, I was talking about Malaysia. Sabah is Malaysia. So what do you say? I wasn't talking about Malaysia?
No, you were. But we want to ask about hope for this young democracy, right? Because we want to end on a positive note. How
I'm
best can we move
hope.
Forward?
Sorry, I'm full of hope. I keep on telling you, young names. I'm not lacking in any hope. I'm a bit tired of the old names. And I think they've got to be beaten around the face a lot more and cleared out and put these young people in, get them to work.
That's true. You sound very much like a school headmaster, Karim.
I know, I'm sick of it, you know. That's the thing. I'm sick of them all.
Yeah. I think the good thing about the entire episode last few days is it just shakes off a lot of dead wood out of the cabinet, as you mentioned a few names just now. And going forward... the people of Malaysia understand that it's actually in their hands, right, which government they want. And either government or anyone, we just have to tolerate them for 5 years, 4 years, and then kick them out if they're not performing.
All right, gentlemen, thank you ever so much for your time. That was a fruitful discussion and obviously very much a constructive one going forward. We were talking to Jabbar Sadiq of the Malaysian Insight and Karim Rasan of the KRA Group, of course, at BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.